Welcome back, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. For the rest of this half hour, I continue our conversation with our special guest, Professor Josh Braver, an expert in the relationship between civil authorities and the military. He is an assistant professor of law at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Thanks for sticking around with us, Josh. Before the break, we were getting into the current moment and the fact that we've now got Texas National Guard in the Chicagoland area. We've got differing court orders from Illinois, a federal judge in Illinois, a federal judge in Oregon. We've got a Supreme Court that to date has not really supported the lower federal courts or required strict adherence of the Trump administration to lower courts' orders. And we seem to be at this inflection point. Literally, we've got armed soldiers from one state about to square off against protesters in another state whose governor doesn't want those National Guard members there, a president whose deputy chief of staff is claiming absolute power to direct Guards members wherever he wants, despite the fact that that is not what the law says. How close are we to one of these constitutional sort of bright line tipping points? How dangerous is this moment? And really, how strong as a legal matter is the president's assertion that he can do whatever he wants with whatever state's National Guard?
I'll start with the second on the law. So the law here is very clear. It sets out three conditions under which you can nationalize the Guard. One is invasion. There's clearly no invasion here. The administration's not even claiming there's an invasion in their court cases. The second is rebellion. And the third is unable with the regular forces to execute the laws of the United States. I really don't think, I don't want to play down the levels of resistance to ICE agents, but calling this a rebellion is very far-fetched. We've had things that maybe we've called rebellions in the past, the Whiskey Rebellion. This is where literally people are being tarred and feathered and they can't enter the city in any way. And George Washington has tried to send negotiators and they've been chased out and tarred and feathered. So the bar here is pretty high. And the president is unable with regular forces to execute the laws of the United States. You know, that means you have to try with the regular forces and they have to significantly fail. It can't just be that they're impeded or there's resistance, which happens every day to law enforcement. So as a matter of law, if you apply these criteria seriously, especially in a place like Portland, I mean, in Los Angeles, I don't want to play it down. There are people trying to seriously use physical force to enter the building. They're trapping ICE agents in cars. There are Molotov cocktails. I still don't think that's a rebellion. I still don't think it meets the criteria. But in Portland, it's people basically milling around. And insofar as they get rowdy, police officers are arresting them and taking them off the territory. So there's just no real plausible case that in Portland you have the criteria necessary for the president to federalize the Guard.
All of this leads me to the question about the Insurrection Act and what sure. The law there is. In my opinion, and based on conversations with folks like yourself, it is very clear that the legal prerequisites to the president's deployment of the National Guard against civilian protesters has not been met. I think it's debatable in LA, given the geographic scope and the fact that it was a very small proportion of the protesters, but it's not met in Chicago. It's clearly not met in Portland. It clearly isn't going to be met in Milwaukee or other places. The fact that the president has deployed these forces exclusively in Democratic-leaning cities, and his now promise or the guise of all of this being about immigration enforcement and his promise that, oh, yeah, if I think it's necessary, I'll invoke the Insurrection Act. What is the Insurrection Act for? And does it have anything to do with immigration enforcement at all?
The Insurrection Act is a way that we've been talking about federalizing the National Guard in these cities. That was the statute I was talking about earlier.
Yes.
The Insurrection Act is about sending in the army itself. The Marines, the active duty soldiers whose normal job day to day are professionals in fighting wars. And so that's the distinction between the Insurrection Act and the other statute. The Insurrection Act is written very broadly. It is written in ways that can be interpreted as giving the president a great deal of discretion to send them in for obstructing or impeding the execution of the laws. But it's never been used that way. It would be a serious violation of precedent. And the executive branch as a whole, its lawyers, have opinion upon opinion piled up saying, you cannot use this recklessly. We have to really think about what its intention was, what its context was, and what the precedents are. And the precedents are clearly things like, as I was mentioning before, riots in which the police can no longer handle it. Places where entire areas of the city are being shut off. Think about the Seattle Autonomous Zone. And yeah. Think about it if it had been done where the Seattle police had really tried to move in rather than wait a few days and then moved in and cleared it out, right? Maybe they tried to move in again and again and couldn't do it. That's just not what we have. And so the president is pushing the law to the limit on the Insurrection Act, interpreting it in ways that it's maybe could be plausible by its text, but goes way beyond what presidents and Department of Justice lawyers have long advised exactly not to do.
If the president invokes the Insurrection Act under facts similar to substantially current facts, do we have a constitutional crisis?
I think we have a crisis for the military. I think we have a crisis in civil-military relations, that we are at risk of discrediting a force that we need to protect ourselves against foreign adversaries. And without a good military, we're in real trouble.
Folks, he'll be back again, I certainly hope. Professor Josh Braver of the University of Wisconsin Law School. We continue to discuss this topic, what it means if the National Guard shows up on the streets of Milwaukee or Madison next. Join us, 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.